I'm like, so does it, this kid gets on a river, have I adequately justified the reasoning behind getting on a river? And maybe this was I was too concerned with was I writing well, was I writing something that was interesting, or asking these MFA type fiction workshop questions. Is it justifiable? Is this character's actions justifiable? And his response very simply was like, no, kids just get on rivers.
well, we'll leave it with that, Ellie. We've got to wrap up. But thanks very much for talking with us. I know it's been a long day. You're traveling. You just got married, as you said, a day or so ago, and you're on a reading tour.
Yes, I'll be at Powell's reading very soon.
Oh, yes, and I'll give the details on that. Again, thank you, Elliot. We've been talking with Elliot Reed, author of the new novel, A Key to Treehouse Living, from Tin House Books. And as mentioned, you can see Elliot in conversation with Portland writer Arthur Bradford at Powell's City of Books. That's a downtown location on West Burnside. That's this Thursday, September 20th at 7:30 p.m. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News in Depth.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who've donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by New Cascadia Traditional, located at 1700 Southeast 6th Avenue. New Cascadia Traditional is open daily and provides a wide variety of bread with gluten-free options. Lunch was provided by Sizzle Pie, located at 624 East Burnside Street. Sizzle Pie offers vegan, veggie, meat, and gluten-free pizzas, along with salads, local beer, wine, and spirits. Dinner was provided by Cannon's Barbecue Rib Express, located at 5410 Northeast 33rd Avenue, serving hickory smoked barbecue with house-made sauces. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO's prize drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the drive prize drawings. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance for winning. The fall drive prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household per year will be accepted during the drive drawing period. Entries may be mailed, with the aforementioned information, to KBOO Radio, care of Membership Department, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, postmarked by September 22nd. Incomplete or late entries will not be accepted. Winner will be determined in a random drawing on Thursday, October 4th. Winner will be notified by telephone, mail, or email after Monday, October 8th. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions, and for the names of the winners, go to kboo.fm/fall2018drawing. And thank you.
Time is 6:02 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is a special hour-long edition of Prison Pipeline for the fall membership drive.
Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Good evening, and you're listening to Prison Pipeline. My name is Emma, and I use she and her pronouns.
Hi, I'm Doug McVeigh.
I'm Amy Johnson, she and her.
I'm Karen James, she and her.
Welcome to a special one-hour edition of Prison Pipeline, all-host special. So we're all here tonight. We're going to be giving you kind of a sampling of some of the different things that we love to work on here at Prison Pipeline. And also, we're going to be encouraging you to give to KBOO. Prison Pipeline is one of the anchor shows of KBOO, and we really hope that you will help us meet our pledge goal tonight. Prison Pipeline is a program that really, we are really concerned about what's going on with people who are incarcerated in prison and with everything that surrounds the criminal justice system. So we're going to be giving you a sampling of some of the different issues that we love to work on. Amy's going to be, her brother is going to be calling in and talking about some of his experiences now that he's out of the system. Doug's going to be sharing an interview with a senator that he recently took. And then Karen is going to be talking about, what are you talking about, Karen?
The Uhuru Sasa Club down at the Oregon State Penitentiary.
Oh.
And I have a hilarious spoken word from one of their talent shows and poetry shares that I recorded and aired on Prison Pipeline.
Great. So I'm going to kind of kick off the show tonight, just talk for about maybe like 4 or 5 minutes about some issues that I'm really concerned about and that I'm going to be doing coverage on this fall. Like I said, my name is Emma. I use she and her pronouns, and I'm a transgender female. And something that I've really gotten interested in the last couple of years is the status and condition of transgender folks in the Oregon State Penitentiary System. And I had a chance recently to participate in a panel discussion with the Oregon State Bar Association on trans folks who are in prison. And it was really great. I learned so much, and we're going to be having a couple of lawyers on who represent trans folks in prison. I will probably try to get some status updates on what's going on, like how is Michelle Wright doing? Michelle got transferred over to the Coffee Creek recently, and she was actually the first transgender female who got appropriately placed within the Oregon State Penitentiary System. But in spite of the great success that we had getting, with the help of the ACLU, getting Michelle Wright transferred into a women's prison from a men's prison, we still have a lot of transgender folks who are in prison in the Oregon State Penitentiary System. And I'm going to have a couple of lawyers on this fall and also get some other advocates on to talk about what's going on right now with transgender folks and what's happening nationally too. Because transgender folks are in prison, they're incarcerated. And in the research that I did for my panel, one of the things I discovered is that transgender folks suffer from being in solitary and isolation. And it's really cruel. Solitary confinement is a terrible way to treat people who are incarcerated. It's dehumanizing. It's been ruled as a torture, crime against humanity by Amnesty International. And unfortunately, in the federal and state prison systems across the country, one of the default ways of dealing with transgender folks who are in the prison system is just to put them into solitary confinement as a way of just kind of getting them out of the way. And, you know, the solitary confinement is like a prison within a prison, and it's really the worst place to be. And sometimes, I mean, I'm a volunteer at Coffee Creek. I know people who have done a lot of time in the hole, and sometimes it's just what needs to happen. I mean, if people are really out of control, if they're super violent, if they're predators, sometimes that's just what happens. But to put people who are just because of their gender identity, to put them into solitary is just really awful. So we're going to be talking about that this fall. We're also, this fall coming up, I'm going to talk and address the issue of who gets hormones and who gets surgeries and how does that work. And we're also going to have some conversations this fall about what goes on with placing transgender folks in a prison. Like, what exactly is it that's required in order for a transgender woman to actually go to a women's prison? And what's required for a transgender man, if that's what he wants, to go to a men's prison? Or if there's a safety concern, what kind of considerations go into trans men going to a women's prison? So, you know, it's a complicated issue, and it's something that it doesn't, I mean, there's about 1% of the population is probably transgender. So within the prison system, the estimates are that there's between 30 and 60,000 transgender people within the prison system, but it's hard to really know exactly how many trans folks are in prison, mm-hmm. because especially for trans women, if you end up in a male prison, the last thing you want to do is to let anybody know that you're transgender, because it's like, you don't want anything to, like, you know, bring special attention to you. You don't want to, like, be perceived as weak or as somehow, like, vulnerable. And, we know, one of the things I discovered in doing research for this panel that I was on is that transgender women are especially vulnerable for rape within the prison system, even with PREA, even with the Prison Rape Elimination Act. Transgender women, you know, routinely report getting sexual assaults. So anyways, those are some of the things we'll be talking about. And in the meantime, until I get to those issues this fall, I would like to encourage people to look at some resources that are really great places to learn about trans folks in prison. One of them is the Sylvia Rivera Law Project, which is a great place to learn about people who are representing transgender folks in prison. Also, the Transgender Law Center out of San Francisco and the National Center for Trans Equality. Those are three really great organizations. So that's what I'll have coming up this fall. And we're going to be going to a pledge break here in just a minute. And after our pledge break, we'll be back with, who's up next? Amy, with Amy and her brother. So are you ready to go to pledge break? Great. Yeah. All right. Well,
let's go there.
Let's go to pledge break.
And so you can hear the type of programming. Emma just talked about the transgender issue in not only Oregon prison system, but across the nation and across the world. And she is raising awareness here through the KBOO studios about this most important issue. You can only imagine being in prison. It's terrible enough to be in prison, but then to also have to be transgender, and I just can't even imagine. So please give us a call, 877-500-5266, to support this type of programming. We are, each of us, and on Prison Pipeline, host, well, we bring our own flavor, or our own special interest, as Emma described earlier. We are all have experience with our loved ones, or sometimes ourselves, in the prison system, and so we kind of know what we're talking about. And who else is raising this type of awareness about what's going on in not only the Oregon system, but across the nation? So please give us a call, 877-500-5266, or you can go online. Emma, what's that website?
You can go online, go to kboo.org if you'd like to, kboo.fm if you'd like to make a donation, and just click donate. And I just want to remind folks that, when you're listening to KBOO, KBOO is a station that is, it's grassroots. It's from the bottom up. And so we don't get money from big corporations. We don't get a lot of money from like big wealthy donors who want to control our agenda. I mean, our agenda is controlled by the people, by our listeners. And we're a democracy here. We really try to be accountable. We care about concepts of beloved community. And we really want to be a voice for the underprivileged. So that's part of why Prison Pipeline is like one of our anchor shows here, because, we want to get as many opportunities as we can to get voices of folks who are incarcerated onto KBOO. So if you can give us a call right now at 877-500-5266, we've got a bunch of folks sitting in the telephone room, ready to take your call. They're being well fed. They've got their computers right in front of them, and they're ready to go. So give them a call. Maybe make a donation, like a specific amount. Like if you could give whatever your wage is. Like say you make $15 an hour. Maybe if you could give $15 a month, that's $180 a year. That's a great donation to give. And if you make it right now, it'll go credited towards Prison Pipeline. It'll help us meet our program goal for this month. So give us a call, 877-500-5266. And now we're back to our regular program with Amy.
All right. Thank you so much, Emma and Karen, for sharing the good news of KBOO and how people can support KBOO. And KBOO is a place that brings you stories and information you're probably not going to hear anywhere else. So hopefully in just a moment, we've got my brother coming up. All right, I don't hear him yet, but I'll just say my brother Doug was my inspiration for getting involved at KBOO. With Prison Pipeline specifically. He spent a little more than 8 years in prison. It was a pretty transformative thing in my life to have a family member spend time in prison. I learned about the injustices of the prison system. And yeah, it made me angry all the time thinking about the fact that that he was there. And now he's been out for almost 2 years, so let's bring Doug on the line and see how he's doing.
Is it through?
Hi, Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right, doing all right. So I don't know if you could hear, I just gave a little bit about the time you spent in prison. It was about 8.5 years, and you've been out for just about 2 years now, is that right?
Yep, almost 2 years, in October.
Yeah, and it's actually past probably what would have been the end of your sentence, which was a 10-year, but you are still on parole because they put you on parole for 5 years after you left.
They call it post-release supervision or something like that. Is their excuse to keep people under, surveillance or supervision or whatnot. It seems like a good idea, but it seems like people also get stuck, in supervision that is sometimes unnecessary, though some people need it,
Yeah. With having the supervision, so do you feel like you've distanced yourself from prison, or do you still feel like have some part of you that's being held back by the system?
It depends on the day. It seems like 90% of the time I can kind of forget about it, go about my daily life, and get on with everything, especially since time has passed. But every once in a while it's like, oh, that's right, it's been a month, I need to go and pay my dues for being on probation and then do an online report, or I got to go see my PO every 90 days or something. And it's like not terrible, but it's just a little reminder. I would like to do something that I'm going out of state for, except I need to get the okay and do all kinds of paperwork and make sure that it's a good enough reason.
Yeah, and it sounds like you have some amount of autonomy with your life. You have a job and you're going to college now to become a nurse. So that might be different than some people's experience, but still you have this with you.
Yeah, exactly. I just happen to be one of the lucky ones with a good support system and that are able to help me so I can try to better myself through, tough times, because, I could be out there working, slaving away to pay bills and have my own place and do my own stuff, but I don't think I'd be able to enjoy myself as much as I'm able to now, just working a little bit and being able to go to school to get a career and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're lucky with that transfer again down to North Carolina from New York State, where you had been in prison. And when you and I were talking a little bit during this week, I had sent you some articles about the recent prison strikes, and they had all sorts of demands about the prison conditions. And I was wondering what maybe stuck out for you about their demands that seemed to line up with what you saw in prison, and you mentioned you read something about New York State actually going and supporting some of these demands.
I just thought that from what I read and understood in the article, it sounded like a lot of the places down here maybe don't have as many programs to help people, not that New York had a huge amount of them or they were great, but there was at least like some services in place to attempt to protect people, even if they didn't always work. But the main thing that stood out with me was like the civil death or whatever they call it, where like, yep, you've been to prison, you can no longer vote, or you won't be able to vote for X amount of time or whatever. You need to jump through all kinds of like loops and hoops and everything, and that seems kind of strange. Like, oh, you've been in trouble maybe once or twice before, ended up with a felony, and now you no longer have a say in who controls the government? That doesn't seem like it makes any sense to me.
Yeah, and do you know for yourself, will you be able to vote at any time, or are you able to vote now in North Carolina?
As far as I know, no. I was under the impression that once you have a felony, you're not allowed to vote anymore, but I guess I should do a little more research in to find out if that's actually true or not. But
there are lots of different
rules.
That
was what I was led to believe.
There are different rules in different states. There are some states where you can vote from prison. Some just when you get out of prison, you can vote. Some it's a certain length of time. So people
Oregon,
who are listening.
Oregon is one of them where you can vote as soon as you get out of prison.
Okay. Yeah. That's scary.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I was wondering, could you tell us a little bit about what was it like trying to access education while you were in prison? Because now you're going to school to become a nurse, and it seems like that's something that should be offered like while you're actually incarcerated. Did you have an opportunity to get a nursing degree while you were incarcerated? What were your educational opportunities?
They had... one place I was at, they had like different industrial programs where you like could learn to weld or do electrical or plumbing and a few different things like that. But as far as I understood, I mean, I think one place, as I was leaving it, they were getting ready to actually start several college classes or something like that, but I didn't have the opportunity at the time, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's my understanding is that it's not very accessible. Most state and federal prisons have very limited access to.
They want to help people get a GED or learn English, but they don't really care about any type of further education other than that. Yeah. I believe that's because people were upset that prisoners could go to jail and get a degree while poor people outside on the streets could not do the same thing. I guess they didn't know about federal grants and programs and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, we need to bring back education in the prison system.
Absolutely. And Doug, this is Karen. What state did you release to?
I was from New York and I got released to North Carolina.
North Carolina. And so what was transition like? What programs or services were available to you when you did release from prison back to the community?
In New York, they like have a class they do, I think it was started 60 or 90 days before you release, where they help try to set you up with where are you going to live? Okay, if you don't have a place, they'll try to set up some type of temporary housing or attempt to get you into some place that isn't just a halfway house, but that's usually what ends up happening. But I think they try to help some people get Section 8 housing and things like that, but unfortunately, I don't believe North Carolina has any sort of programs like that.
Wow.
Like I would have had Medicaid in New York, and there's nothing in North Carolina as far as I could tell.
Because I know here in Oregon, some communities and the prison system, they're trying to get the people their Oregon ID and the Social Security card and different things to help them get started with their life out in the community. Anything like that help with?
Oh, well, we're able to sign up at several different times along the way to get our Social Security card, birth certificate. I don't believe they offered an ID, but when you leave New York, they give you a state-issued card that has your picture and name and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess that can help you towards getting a new residential ID if you're not allowed to get a driver's license.
Well, I understand that some that are releasing with that, it's good for a free beer somewhere. That's about it. So transition-wise, there wasn't really a lot of help when you were coming home?
No, not particularly. Mm. I had also been hoping for the transfer, knowing that if I came through, I had a place to stay. So I just kind of started going through the steps because it had not looked good. It looked like I was going to go to a shelter or something when I was released until the transfer came through.
Mm. Yeah. And what about mentors? Are mentors available for you? We have mentors here in Oregon, people that have served time and kind of know the ropes. They're put in mentor positions and can help people who are coming out, and it's quite successful. Do you have anything like that in North Carolina or New York?
They did not, as far as I know, or the place where I was. It sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, they had several, I guess, social workers might have been the term for the staff members who helped run the classes, but it'd be inmates sometimes who had another year or two to serve who would pretty much run the release classes, which is kind of, I don't know, opposite of what it should be, I guess. I can't think of a fancy enough term.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got to keep our time moving along for the rest of the show, make sure we can get Karen James's stuff and Doug McVeigh, and we've got another Doug on the show. So thank you so much for speaking with us tonight, Doug, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks. All right. Well, we're here in our fall membership drive, and the number to call to support this type of programming is 877-500-5266. KBOO is a member-supported radio station. It's a community-based radio station, as you heard. Family members, people who are impacted directly by being transgender, are talking about transgender people in prison. So this is the type of news that you want to support. So you're going to call 877-500-5266.
That's right. Thank you, Amy. We're just in the middle of our fall membership drive. We're doing really great. We're already over 50,000 and counting, but we still got a ways to go, and we really need you to call right now and show that you support KBOO Community Radio. You know, we're on the air 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And it takes a lot to run a radio station. I mean, our annual budget is about $800,000+. Actually, I think it's over $1 million with in-kind donations. And that's a big budget, you know, but this is a big radio station. You can hear KBOO all over Oregon. You can hear it in Washington.
All around the world.
Yeah, we've got a great reach. We're Pacifica. Well, no, we're not Pacifica, but we carry a lot of Pacifica stuff. And we have lots and lots of local programming. KBOO really cares about beloved community, and that's a lot. I mean, that's so much. Everything that I've listed, I mean, if you can imagine how much work it takes to run a radio station, all the staff that's needed, all of the equipment that we need to purchase, and all of that costs money. You know, I mean, I wish that we could do everything at KBOO for free, but we can't. We need money. And that's why we do this. We interrupt your regular programming basically two times a year with a one shorter drive usually also. But we do that because we care about KBOO, and we know that if we don't do this, we can't keep the lights on. So if you can give us a call right now, our number is 877-500-5266. And we've got some great prizes. We've got some great gifts if you make a donation. We've got the KBOO hoodie, which is just awesome. I saw Delphine walking around in the KBOO hoodie the other day, and I was like, man, I got to have one of those hoodies. And I'll tell you, the way that you get the hoodie, it's $25 a month, which it's not that much money. I mean, $25 a month is, I know it's less than what anybody pays for cable. It's like at least half of what you would pay for just to get wireless service, like at your house. And imagine how much more valuable is KBOO than your wireless signal. I mean, KBOO will be there even if you don't have internet. You've got KBOO, and you can listen to Democracy Now. You can listen to Prison Pipeline. We've got so much great stuff. And so if you can give $25 a month, you know, that's $300 a year. But, you know, we break it up into nice manageable chunks. You'll get that great KBOO hoodie. What else? What are some other reasons to support KBOO?
Well, we are all volunteers here, and we are very passionate about what we do. And this is the grassroots level of information. And in these times, I can't think of anything more crucial than, because you know it ain't happening on the national level, and sometimes not even on the state level. The grassroots level, where people are down and dirty and getting their hands really in the you know, mix of what's happening on in our communities, in our neighborhoods. And this is why Prison Pipeline is so important, to bring you the issues. So please give us a call at 877-500-5266. Please make those phones ring. call on behalf of a prisoner. You know, they don't make the big bucks in our prison system, and they work hard for their money. A lot of them are sending money home to support their families while they are serving time, and they do listen to KBOO. So call on behalf of a prisoner. You don't even have to say a name. I'm calling on behalf of someone listening to Prison Pipeline right now in Columbia River Correctional Institution or Oregon State Penitentiary or another prison somewhere along the I-5 corridor.
Coffee Creek.
And I know the ladies are listening. They do listen. So shout out to the ladies at Coffee Creek.
But let's not forget Eastern Oregon. That's where a lot of the folks are.
Yeah. Well, they don't get KBOO way out there, though, yeah, unfortunately. So 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm. Make those phones ring.
You know, there's over, I think there's like 14 or 15,000 people in the Oregon State Penitentiary System. And, you know, each one of those people has a story. And then there's at least twice as many who have come out of the system, who are currently on probation or at, you know, on some level of interaction with the criminal justice system. And as much as we try, we can't tell all of those stories, but we can tell some of those stories. And we're here every week because we care about those people. We care about people who are currently incarcerated. We care about people who are living out on the streets, who have lost who've lost their place. We care about all of those issues. And the reason that we are doing this program every week is because we want you to be informed. But the only way that we can do that is with your donations. So if you can give, you know, if you can give $25 a month, that's a big help. Maybe you can only afford to give maybe $10 a month, you know, the price of a couple of cups of coffee. That's $120 a year, broken up into, you know, $10 a month. We'll get you set up with auto pay. And